Hello, and welcome to the Gospel Bell in the Dells, a weekly podcast sharing the good news of Jesus Christ in every age and place. My name is Pastor Joseph Dogan, pastor of Bethany Lutheran Church in Wisconsin Dells. Come and hear the good news that is indeed for you. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 12th chapter. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew, then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled. And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven. "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "The voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. Please be seated. I don't often title my sermons before I preach them. In fact, the only reason I've even been titling my sermons lately is so that way for the podcast, I'm writing something more inviting than sermon number 12 or whatever. But I've been doing a lot of stirring in my head for this last Sunday in Lent. Yes, in just 1 week from today, we will be entering Holy Week, the week where we go from Palm Sunday in celebration of Jesus entering Jerusalem to Maundy Thursday with foot washing and the Passover meal in the temple, crucifixion on Good Friday, and then resurrection on Easter. We are 1 week away from probably the busiest week in the church year, and remembering what would have been also the busiest week for the disciples and for Jesus. There's an odd kind of stillness that happens this week as we are anticipating all that is going to happen. Maybe more so this year for many of you as you sit and watch and wonder what this year's Holy Week could possibly bring. We sit in this space waiting for the next thing and what God is going to do next through Jesus Christ. And so I've titled this sermon, "The Beginning of the End, and an End That Brings About Beginning Again." And if it sounds convoluted, well, it kind of is. But so is our text in a way. So is the Bible. For if we try to apply logic to something as big as faith, it always seems to become a little bit more confusing. And in continuing with the strangeness of the theme of the day, we're going to work backwards in our text just a little bit, starting with verse 33, which gives us a good idea of the strangeness of what is going on in the verses prior. It clearly says that what is said is to indicate the kind of death that he, being Jesus, was to die. More than a prediction, this seems to be an acknowledgement of what God the Father intends to do through the Spirit in Jesus Christ upon the cross, in the tomb, and in the ascension. When Jesus calls out for the Father's name to be glorified, we are then reminded of a God that is, that always has been, and will continue for all time. A God that is full of might, and yet full of compassion that we see in Jesus Christ. For Jesus says that what is about to transpire, it's not for his sake. He gains nothing from this. In the defeating of death, that wasn't simply for his own self to be risen. In fact, as we will see after Easter, Jesus' own resurrection on earth doesn't last forever. Instead, he ascends to be with the Father shortly after. Jesus says that all of this is instead for your sake, not his. That which has power over death will be no more. The accuser, the ruler of this earth, will be driven out, and in its place will be grace and mercy of Jesus Christ that says we no longer need to face this because Jesus has done so for the sake of all people. And in doing so, in death, resurrection, and ascension, Jesus Christ draws all people to himself. This is the kind of death that Jesus dies. One that is for the sake of all people, so that all people will be drawn to him and know the Father in heaven in everlasting life. This is promised. This is true. And this is what we profess every time we confess our faith. But yet, that's the other side of all of this. This story can only be known here on earth when we confess our faith through thought, word, and deed. There's this Bonhoeffer quote that I was reminded of this week, and if you don't know Dietrich Bonhoeffer, I highly recommend you look him up. But he says this: your life as a Christian should make non-believers question their disbelief in God. Your life as a Christian should make non-believers question their disbelief in God. Now, if you know anything about Bonhoeffer, then certainly you know that he did not mean this by force, but instead by living your life in such a way where God can be seen so clearly that others can no longer deny the Christ that lives in you. It's interesting. What initiates this exchange of Jesus telling of what's going to happen next? This didn't happen until some Greeks, some Gentiles, were starting to take notice of what Jesus has been doing, and they try searching for him. That isn't to say that Jesus hasn't encountered or even done ministry with those who weren't Jewish. But up until this point, the Jewish people, they were still convinced and under the assumption that Christ was for them and only them. That they alone were the chosen people that were to be lifted up. So when Greeks started to come to Jesus as well, there seems to be alarm coming from Philip and Andrew as they go and tell Jesus that he is being sought out. It's in response to this that Jesus then explains the kind of death that is coming. And again, it is one that is going to include all people, not just the Jewish people, not even just the Greeks, but all people in the glory of the Father in his own lifting up. Reverend Dr. Troy Trofgruben, a professor of New Testament studies at Wartburg Theological Seminary, you may have heard of the place, says that this text serves as a foreshadowing of the ministry and mission that happens on earth after Jesus' ascension. While we are still before even the death and resurrection that we will spend time in next week, it's important also to look at what's beyond and what's on the other side of the cross, because as post-resurrection people, we live on the other side of the cross. We take a look at our sanctuary. We have engraved into our stonework, Christ is risen. We live into that reality, no matter what time of year we are in. There are some that take issue, though, with using the word mission within the church, because it has been adopted by and used dangerously by groups of those who use the word to validate what they are doing and puffing themselves up by helping only those who will bring honor and glory to themselves. Too often, mission is used to talk about only what a church is doing. When we think about mission in this way, then there's going to be a problem in definition of what it means to be involved in mission here on earth. Now, it's similar to the issue that some people have with the E in ELCA. That calls us the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Because while we believe it is good to be evangelical, we are not part of this evangelical movement that has taken over many Christians in this country. What evangelical comes from is a Greek word that is evangelion, meaning gospel or good news. So that is to say, the ELCA, Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, can also be called the Gospel-Centered Lutheran Church in America. Evangelion, or evangelical, means to continue to share in this good news of Jesus Christ that is happening here, that says all people are drawn to Christ through what he has done and what he continues to do through those who proclaim his name. Mission, then, is not about what we are doing. That's where we get it twisted. Mission and is about how we are participating in what God is already doing. Missio Dei, a Latin phrase to mean the mission of God. This is how we talk about mission in the world. We first set our eyes on God and what God is doing, and then we take time with some of those key words that many of you have heard me speak before. Call, vocation, spirit, direction. That is all done through prayer and where God is leading us through the Spirit. Beloved of Bethany, Easter Day is coming. And you will hear me say this again, but Easter is not done on March 31st. It continues. Every Sunday, it continues, and every day in between, we are called to be gospel people, evangelical people, and participate in Missio Dei. While we are coming to the end of our Lenten journey, it is only the beginning of all things that are to come. We stand here at the beginning of the end, and we welcome in together the newness that is coming through Jesus Christ our Lord. Beloved, the coming of the end does not mean that all things are over, but that in Christ we are called to do a new thing. We are to renegotiate our relationships and reevaluate who we are. The glory of the Father will continue to be glorified in every age as it always has been. We are called into this glory, into this love, and into this mercy. We are called into the mission of God for the world to share this good news of the love of all people found in the death, resurrection, and ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you again for listening to our weekly podcast, The Gospel Bell and the Dells. To find out more about this ministry or learn ways to support us, please go and follow us on Facebook at Bethany Lutheran Church or at our website at dellsbethanylutheran.org.